Hello, Fife fans, and welcome back to Scotland's premier Fife-based podcast, Fife Club, where a couple of friends chat about anything and everything that take their interest, putting their world to rights. What's the first rule of Fife Club?
Talk about Fife Club. I mean, what's your problem? Just talk about it. What's wrong with talking about it? Just talk about it. Talk about it. Talk about Fife Club.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, do that. Talk about it. That'd be nice. Please. Pretty please. Please.
We'll be your friends.
I don't know if you want that, but yeah.
not the appropriate kind of friend, but we'll be that friend. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. You know what I mean?
I don't, James. Can you explain that to me?
That's for another podcast. That's for a fan fiction coming your way.
Literally and metaphorically.
I still have one for you guys to listen to at some point.
Oh, really?
Not tonight.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm sure.
I mean, we could totally do it.
It needs a full house.
Oh, does it?
It needs a full house for that one. But that's coming, so look forward to that, Fife fans. But yeah, tonight, round the mics with my good self, Kutch, tonight is with no particular fanfare, Jamie.
It's funny because everywhere you go is usually like trumpets when I walk in. Proper fanfare.
The ticker tape parade.
Yeah. Bit disappointed.
And next to him is James. Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah. I've not written anything this week, so been busy. Busy, busy bees. I've been so busy that I've not even promoted last week's podcast at all. So if you've heard that one, congratulations.
It was a good podcast.
Well done.
It was essentially an Easter egg.
Yeah. You're pretty much you're definitely a super fan because it means you subscribe to the RSS feed.
You're up there. You're up there with Dale. You're not quite at Dale's level yet, but you're up there with Dale.
Dale and Doogie,
yeah.
The super fans.
Although I love Doogie, but Dale pips it because she's given us photos and...
Yeah. What have you given us, Doogie, apart from one episode? What have you given us?
You've appeared on the show. He's up your game, man.
And quite often content as well. But what have you given us?
Friendship.
Yeah. What's that?
What? How many lessons does that get you these days?
I'll be friends with you after Brexit. I don't make the rules.
Yeah, we'll never have a trade deal with Canada.
They speak French.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Don't trust too much. Half of them.
Too much like Europe.
Exactly.
Oh, God. The rest of them leave and look what happens. We turn all Brexit in no time.
There's no political correctness in this episode, is there?
I don't know. Anyway, I suppose we should get on with it. We don't know how long this one will be tonight. It might be a quick one. Might be a short one.
Might be
a long one, whatever.
That's Kutch's usual pulling tactic. <It's>
like, all right, though, no, might be a quick one.
Might be a long one, don't know.
just have to see.
Could be long, it could be short. That's one's in the finding out.
That's the second thing you say, if I really fancy you, so how about it? works, and then you...
Yeah, might be a short one, level. Might be a long
do you
one.
Do you remember those adverts? Like, you had the anti-drinking advert. There was like,
these
really
adverts
fancy.
Are fucking fantastic.
And then there was the smoking one.
Yeah, who's from the Dunfermline
Girls? The eye.
We've talked about this before, I'm sure. Yeah. The
blue sticks, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, maybe we're talking about the same one. I was thinking about the one that had the girl band.
Yeah.
And then they're talking about why the guys run away.
Uh huh. That hit the charts.
It did. Well.
Yeah.
It was huge.
Scottish Hebs adverts were always good. Good.
I always liked the one with the guy drowning, but it was like himself. And he throws like a lifesaver thing to him, and it's you could save a life your own. It's a good tagline.
It is.
Yeah. Then there was the.
Although I'm insistent on killing myself through eating too much.
And then there was, what was the other one? There was the one that was like the guy was on drugs and he was like trading in his PlayStation. Like, that takes
you're
back.
You're only
that
smoking
takes,
it.
Smoking and I said.
Oh, you're pride and joy, eh? What a fucking advert.
Classic.
Bring any spare change, pal?
Oh, yeah. Bring them back.
If only the health...
They should bring them back.
Yeah, right, but
if only the Health Education Board of Scotland existed.
No, it's gone. Yeah.
Although I've got a series coming out for the Borders about sexual health. So, you know.
James, you should have told women beforehand.
Now, children.
Just James going round and saying, yeah, sorry, I've got the clap.
I thought you were going to say, "Oh, it doesn't usually happen this often."
So a series,
Yeah, well, the idea, I don't know if I should be talking about this, but fuck it, let's do it. Well, we do a tour of the borders every year. Well, this is like the last official year of it. We've been doing like a play called Tea Play, and it's like a sketch show on stage. It's talking about all these things. It's because the borders introduced the C card. Mm-hmm. They've reintroduced the C card. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but
no. The pass thing.
Yeah, and you give you free condoms and free contraception and stuff like that. So our job is to go and just do this play, which promotes it and promotes consent and proper.
All right. Okay.
And things like that. But I do a lot of sketches that takes a piss out of Bear Grylls and also takes a piss out of contraception. So so a lot of the scenes are like showing you how you shouldn't use a condom. Like you act like an idiot and like you use a condom as a shower cap, you use it as a banana protection device. We filmed a lot of sketches in Edinburgh in May. Mm-hmm. That's quite fun if you're in the middle of the town centre or in the middle of the meadows doing shit with condoms and femidoms and stuff like that. You get a lot of fun looks there, especially when you're doing the one with flavoured lube and a dog comes up and tries to lick your face and you're like, no, stay back. Well, that's not for you, dog. That's like,
if it was in August, you could put a box down and make some money out of it.
Yeah, fringe worthy, you know, but like in the middle of May, it's like questionable. Like we did a...
You're too early, pal.
Too soon. You just get lifted by the police. That was a genuine concern. It was some of the stuff that I was like, we could get lifted here, eh? Yep. Because you're not really supposed to film. Like, you're supposed to have, like, permits and stuff like that. But we were, like, in and out, quick shooting. We weren't, like, messing about. So, like, we got it done.
There's all these jokes here. I'm just going to let them hang.
Yeah. I'm trying to lay them out there. I'm hanging them out
there. Own cock.
Elf only. I don't think they need to see that. But yeah, so it's going to be like a series that goes down to like TV and the borders for kids. And it might be on YouTube as well, which I'm fucking dreading. I'm not looking forward to that. Because like, that's the thing that's going to immortalize me, isn't it?
Yeah, well, YouTube, that's like. It. Ultimately, it's kind of cool because it's legacy. That is your legacy.
That's my legacy.
Yeah.
Being overweight, pretending to be Bear Grylls in the middle of Edinburgh, putting a condom on his fucking head. That's exactly what my legacy is going to be.
At least you put on that time, James. Unlike all these ladies on the borders.
But they'll never know. Wink, wink.
Holy shit.
Oh my God, that's dark.
That was a bad really one. I'm sorry. I'm really bad.
Not down with that.
I'd like to just stress that I am a gentleman. And I do use protection. I don't just pretend.
It's called shite patter.
Like it doesn't even get in near the bedroom. It's like you don't even get to a drink. It's like fuck off. Yeah, that's fair. I respect that. I would be the same. If I saw me and I made a joke like that, yeah, I'd be gone.
Well, on the subject of Edinburgh and jokes.
Oh, fucking yes. Yeah.
It's obviously that time of year where we've already had a wee bit of chat about Fringe. We're closing in on the end of it. I think we're really just in the last throes of it now.
It's a shame. It doesn't last long enough for me.
I wish it lasted longer and I had more money to go across this year. It's been a very sparse Fringe. All got spent on whiskey.
Yeah,
you drunken goons.
That is pretty much a day at the Fringe. Like we spent?
Spent, yeah.
Yeah, overall. Yeah.
You know, when you spend all that money, you go to a whiskey festival, you kind of want to see the end, don't you, Kutch?
I saw the end, it was the middle which was the problem.
Tough but, effort, though. Like, that's a good effort, though. I've never seen anyone get carted out at a whiskey festival before like that. Or, like, sat on a chair. Like, that was the best part.
Like, the amount we drank, like, was much more than the Fife one.
Oh yeah,
we hit it really hard, and
like we'd already talked about the fact of like, oh, let's go in and let's pace ourselves and da da da, and then we just went in and stupidly. Because like somebody I was speaking to at my work was like, oh, you take it, you just got absolutely wrecked there and just had a great time. I was like, well, it wasn't about getting wrecked.
No.
We went in and we had genuine like interest in
ranges. That was a problem.
And
last year I was more trying. One from each one, maybe two.
Yeah.
Whereas this year, we're like, we'll try four.
But it really was that.
It's almost unwittingly getting ready.
Yeah.
You don't go in there planning it. You go in the best intentions, you want to try whiskies, learn a bit about them, chat with the distillers.
Yeah.
But it just accumulates over time.
But it is that thing, especially if you're talking about a range with them. They just pour. You drink and they pour the next one, and then you drink it and then they pour the next one.
Yeah.
And you progressively get lower impulse control as well. Would you like to try something? Why, yes, I would. Yeah, sounds lovely.
But that's it. It was like within half an hour, we'd probably had about four proper nips, five proper nips worth.
Yeah.
And that's an evening of drinking.
Yeah.
Normally, you know.
Like, did you ever get to the point where it's like, would you like to try? Have you not just started pouring it yet already? Just pour it.
No, because they just pour.
Too right.
Pour straight away. But yeah, we've talked all about that a lot. But yeah, the Fringe is obviously coming to an end, and we have already had the best joke of the Fringe forced upon us.
I have my thing about it. I'm not fully sold. I read the
thing
other day.
The best joke is usually pretty mince.
Yeah, so here's the thing.
Yeah.
The best jokes at the Fringe
are usually one-liners as well.
Well, but that's the official best jokes at the Fringe. But the best jokes I've always seen are completely contextual and maybe take an hour to build up to.
Yeah,
therefore,
absolutely,
it's impossible to actually extract them
that,
from the rest of the show. Like, some of the best jokes I've seen are like in really heartfelt shows that are about serious things.
Yep.
And then...
Like, you go on a journey.
And it's impossible to just do it as a one-liner. You know, it doesn't make any sense.
Although, I have a favourite joke that I heard, or from what I've seen, but I don't know if I should say it now, or if we should wait till we do the top 10.
Well, I think let's do the top 10. Yes.
I've got a list here as well.
I did have the list, and now I've got a different list.
You got a different list?
It was the Guardian one, yeah?
So this is going to get edited out.
I've got the one for...
solid gold content.
I've got the one on the Scotsman, but it's the Dave list. So
let's see if they're the same. So I think it might be the Dave list, actually.
I think because it's usually Dave that promote it now.
Because it was Adam Rowe that got the best joke.
It was a good joke, although I did.
Yeah, Dave's top 10 funniest jokes from the.
Okay, yeah. I haven't heard any of these. Hit me.
Right. Okay.
Do I take turns?
Will we start at the bottom, work our way up?
Yeah, go from 10 down.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So at 10, I think love is like central heating. You turn it on before guests arrive and pretend it's like this all the time.
That's a very Live at the Apollo sort of joke.
Yeah.
I disapprove.
That was Laura Lex.
Oh, just while I remember, on great news about jokes today, the fucking Big Bang Theory's been cancelled. I don't Kutch likes it. That's why I'm saying it last
time. Fuck him. It's time.
I think it's everything that's wrong with comedy.
I think it's gone on too long, and it being cancelled is the right time. It's probably, in fact, about 3 or 4 seasons too late.
Yeah.
When they done Young Sheldon, that was when you like, they jumped the shark. That's it.
Well, they're over. How much for each getting paid an episode now?
It's like a million or so. Well, the top three anyway.
It's not sustainable.
Yeah. Let's get to that 2.5 men stage, isn't it?
Yeah, or Friends.
It's beyond that.
It's all Friends sort of level of impact.
Yeah,
Walking Dead's getting that way as well. Like, but then again, they need to keep actors as best they can.
Yeah, but Walking Dead is equally shit. It should have been cancelled a few seasons ago. Yeah. Anyway, back to the joke.
So, from my understanding, there's not a 9.
There's a joint 8.
Joint 8.
So I'll give this one.
Much like the Whiskey Fringe, we're 3-8 place.
Yeah, that's true.
So first equal 8th, Alex Edelman. Why are they calling it Brexit and not the Great British Breakoff?
Quite like that.
That's okay.
I quite like that.
Okay.
If your mate said that in the pub, you'd be like, "That's all right. It's very good. Good batter." Yeah.
Yeah. And well, it's pub level. Right? Yeah, pub level jokes.
Pub level. So we've gone from Live at the Apollo to pub level. Where are we going next?
We're going up.
Are we?
Well, gone from Live at Apollo to pub.
I think we're on the. This one's
Yes. Yeah, so this next one is Adele Cliff. It's again joint 8th. I lost a friend after we had an argument about the TARDIS. I thought it was a little thing, but it seemed much bigger once we got into it.
You knew it right away, didn't you?
It's like...
It's obvious joke's obvious, isn't it?
Yeah, that's just...
You feel the punchline hitting you.
Yeah.
Like, properly, just like, hello!
Bam!
Like a wave of shit.
Yeah. You know what's coming next, isn't
it?
So, I'll throw a kind of, you know, a relevant one. Number 7, Justin Moorhouse. Trump said he'd build a wall, but he hasn't even picked up a brick. He's just another middle-aged man failing on a DIY project.
It's Live at Apollo standards again. I do not like it.
Again, it's an obvious target, an obvious joke. It's,
by the way,
if your show this year is about Trump or Brexit, fuck off.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are some good shows about Trump or Brexit, but if I was going to Friends, I'm like, oh, dude, a show about Trump or Brexit, well, I'm not going to see you. It'll be shite.
There was one that I noticed, which was Brexit the Musical, and I was just like, David Cameron and Joris Bonson. And it's like, you've changed the names so cleverly there that they'll never know who you're talking about.
They will come after you.
Really bad. Like, it just looked really bad.
It was like you had folk, like a guy dressed as Trump, going about, "Hi, come see my show, it's gonna be great. Come see my thesis theory, it's gonna be great. We're gonna talk about my presidency, it's gonna be great." Like, fuck off. I don't need that. I don't need that in my life.
Again, the problem with it is that people are going after it like satire, but it's such obvious, low satire, because how do you satire it when it's a satire in itself?
You can't satirize it. It's totally. It's like, I remember, I think I saw something of Andy Zaltzman about when it was changing from like Bush to Obama.
Yeah.
And he was like, see, the thing is, he's like, oh, so it's going to be harder. And he's like, well, thing is, because there's been a lot of satire of Bush. He's like, yeah, but there's been a lot of easy satire of Bush.
Bush, yeah.
Like, which is just doing impressions of him. It's like, ah, well, it's point, you know.
But that's exactly the same with Trump.
But don't get me wrong, he's awful. And he can be satirized. It's just
that
it gets tiresome after a while.
Yeah, when every man and his dog's doing it because it is such an easy...
Yeah.
Like, part of me like enjoys going to the Fringe to get away from that. Like, to go to these shows that have not... Something you can do satire, but I like the idea of going to see a piece of theatre or a comedy show just to take an hour away from what's going on in the world.
I think there's the comedy snob in me goes, if I'm going to see satire, I want to see good satire.
Yeah, good satire.
Like,
yeah.
Properly
good slash terrible all at the same time.
Yeah.
Like Andy's Ultimate.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to sit about a play about Trump or Brexit because it's just too on the nose.
Well, that's it, yeah.
Like, I like the odd joke now and then.
We fucking live it at the moment. Yeah. It's
like, I don't mind like watching a play and then an off-the-cuff line about it comes up. Ha, that's fine, that's funny, but I don't want to sit for an hour. That's the sort of stuff I want to get away from for an hour. I don't need that in my life.
Well, I'd just like to say that the Trump's being, like, satirised in real life by the special counsel anyway.
Yeah.
So there's no point in, like, what are you going to do?
He's getting satirised by his own lawyers.
Yes, he is.
It's mental. But, anyway, number six is one from Darren Walsh. I've got a new job collecting all the jumpers left in the park at the weekends, but it's not easy. They keep moving the goalposts.
Okay, I like that
one. Yeah,
that was good. That's silly.
I read that and had a proper chortle.
That's pretty good. I do like that.
Speaking of like jobs like that, did you hear there was like a rumour going about someone had put up a thing online about being a penguin erector at the zoo?
Yeah.
And, like, when they look at planes, they fall over.
What?
So a penguin erector.
A what?
Exactly that. But what it is...
Saucy.
When planes fly over, the chat was that penguins get so obsessed with watching them that they fall over because they continue to watch them.
It's so stupid.
So that at Edinburgh Zoo, there's a man employed to go around picking the penguins back
penguins.
Up. No, to pick the penguins. Pick the penguins back up to put them the right way, erect them.
Yeah. If you wanked them, though, they probably wouldn't care so much about the planes.
The planes, But... It turns out that it's like an urban myth that really quickly grew out of control.
Like, and tabloid newspapers from like Edinburgh Zoo.
I feel stupid for believing it now, but penguins are stupid. So
But Edinburgh Zoo had to actually come out and like say, no, we don't, and that the penguins are quite capable of getting up themselves.
Like, that's a good point.
They're not turtles.
It was just sort of like, it was one of these weird... It was all over and done with in about like an hour. It was like a tweet went out and then they got back. But then, of course, the papers picked up on it, all the tabloids, and it went.
And to be fair, if you've ever gone and seen the penguins at the zoo, they don't really care for planes. All they care about is swimming and fish.
Yeah.
They don't give a fuck about anything
else. Walking along. And I'm not going to go out for March and then walking along at the cage side.
Yeah.
I'm marching here.
apart from that one that's got status in the Norwegian army.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Olaf. He's an admiral.
Yeah. He's an admiral. Yeah. So you'll be there for roll call.
Or a general or something like that. Yeah.
We should actually do that, though. Like, replace, you know, they elect mayors like dog mayors in American towns and stuff. We should totally do that here. But replace all generals with zoo animals. Have an impala as the head of the Air Force or something.
An otter as
Navy.
As master commander.
Have a penguin. Have penguin as head of the Air Force. Yes.
Flightless bird.
Penguin and a rear admiral emu.
Yes, that's the way to go. See, we're better at jokes.
Yeah, we're throwing some good power tonight.
Right, James, number five.
Number five comes from Flo and Joan. A serious question here, Jamie. What do colourblind people do when they're told to eat their greens?
I don't know.
No, that's
the question. That is a line.
That's the joke. Oh, and it's just, I was like, nah.
It's like, you know what? That tells all you need to know. When I've said that and he's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like, that's not
well. The first
well,
time
you said it was a question
because it's so a question.
I thought you were saying, "Is it got a question mark?"
Yeah.
Oh, I suppose
it's just non-rhetorical. It's supposed to be a like that sinking.
Yeah.
But
probably my delivery fucked that.
I thought you were setting up a call and response thing.
Yeah.
No, my bad.
I suppose reading it without context would give you that impression.
I read it the first time and went, "I don't get it. Where's the punchline?" And then I read it again and was like, "Oh, I see what
I think if that was performed, it would be
better. Yeah. I suppose there's tone for that one, isn't there? Mm. Yeah. Well, number four,
which I will put out there, is my personal favourite of the list.
It's all right. Daniel Audrit's joke here. In my last relationship, I hated being treated like a piece of meat. She was a vegan and refused to touch me.
It's all right, actually. It's not bad.
It's okay. It's not bad. Number three.
Number three by Olaf Falafel. I took out a loan to pay for an exorcism. If I don't pay it back, I'm going to get repossessed.
He had one last year.
That's a Fife Club level joke. Take that as you will. Take that as you will. Yeah.
That's get one the podcast.
Really shit. But
like, you're right. That has Penman written all over it.
Does. Absolutely does. We need to give him a shout. Olaf Falafel. Be like, here, guy, you want to go on the podcast and chat about this?
No, he definitely had one last year.
Yeah.
I recognise the name.
Good on him, though. Two years running in the top 10. That's good on
him. So number two. I had a job drilling for I had a job drilling holes for water. It was well boring.
That was such a
I quite like that.
That's all right. And I think again performed it actually be quite good. Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah. And I get the number one. Yeah. You've probably read this one already, Jamie, so I'll get you out of your misery. Number one, Adam Rowe. Working at the job centre has to be a tense job, knowing that if you get fired, you still have to come back in the next day.
I think that's an Apollo one again.
Yeah.
That is
it's a very Michael McIntyre.
Thanks for introducing me, Jack D, or Michael McIntyre, who are friends these days.
Well, we'll see. One thing that muddied this joke for me, and read about it when I was coming in here, is apparently he came up with a joke about 8 years ago. So he's had this in the back pocket for 8 years, and then he's just like, bam, there we are, joke of the year.
Yeah. But then,
fair play.
But then comics do that all the time, they recycle jokes. Yeah. So
sometimes
it's just
gold out of nowhere.
Like, yeah.
I think that was the question. They are one-liners without context, so take it as you will. Plus, we're delivering it, so it's not as if like we're
the best comedians in the world ever, no.
There was a really good joke I heard yesterday. I went to see a pre-show, like The Laughing Horse. The Three Sisters. And he was like talking about how his girlfriend wants children but he doesn't, so they were chatting about kids' names and they decided on Annie and Oliver, so when the kids grow up they can realise that we're never wanted. As I say, right. His delivery was well better than mine, so it was a free show.
Never before have I hated a joke more.
There we go. Last year's Olaf Falafel joke was number nine. It wasn't particularly close. I wasn't particularly close to my dad before he died, which was lucky because he trod on a landmine.
That's really good. That's much better than he's won this year.
But yeah, he's the only one to reappear in the list. So
what's his name?
Oh wait, no, Adele Cliff as well.
What's his name? Did the one-liners?
Tim Vine.
Yeah, and he got
he won it one.
Was
year.
It here? I was here, and we were watching a TV around Christmas or something.
Yes,
and he had a show. I was like, "Is that Tim Vine?
Yeah.
Has some madman given Tim Vine his own TV show?"
It was a Christmas special.
Yeah,
as well.
It was fucking nuts.
And it was just
one-liner after
one-liner,
like after one-liner,
sketch, but with nothing but one-liners.
Yeah.
Like no build-up to the sketch.
It was more like props.
Yeah,
but sketch just constant.
He's got the world record for the most one-liners in an hour.
Yeah,
hasn't he?
Yeah.
But I've seen him at festivals. Like, what sort of lunatic gave him a show? Like,
he actually had quite a good one from last year. He was in the top 15. I went to a Pretenders gig. It was a tribute act.
See, that's a shit of all the other ones.
Yeah,
it's
a better standard last year, I think.
But then I think we talked about that probably this time last year as well, like Tim Vine being is actually the king of one-liners.
Yeah,
and that is his speciality, but he kind of is able to just batter them out the park.
But I'd like to know the requirements to get in on this, because there are hundreds of comedians, thousands of comedians on during the Fringe Festival. There's no way do they get through all of them between now and the end of the Fringe.
I don't know. Do you not think it's probably just... Because, I mean, again, it's if you think about... Your reviewers.
Yeah, I wonder if they're submitted by reviewers.
Yeah, there's
I don't know how it's done.
Because there'll be a...
Because almost every show's reviewed.
Yeah.
It's either that, at least
or
once.
Dave will like
have
employ,
a guy that goes
will
around.
Employ a handful of folk to go to, and just that's all they do. All.
Like big comedians employ people to go around and steal jokes for them.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is what your TV comedians go and do.
Yeah. Just nick all the jokes.
I saw that once because I remember Stuart Lee doing a big piece about it, you know, and I saw it was like on Live at the Apollo or something. I flicked over to it and the guy told a joke and I was like, that's a Dan Antopolsky joke. I saw that at the fridge. I was like, I'm surprised they stole a Dan Andropovsky.
Again, somebody that's as big as Dan Andropovsky.
Yeah. It's fucking weird.
It's bold.
But then again, maybe not, because I think a lot of people... It's like... A lot of people just come up with the same ideas.
Well, that's it.
But it was a pretty weird... You know, it was a typical Dan Andropovsky joke, so it was pretty fucking weird. I can't remember what it was, but... Anyway.
It's odd. But then it is that thing, like, how often do, like, let's say somebody dies, you know... The same joke might come up for whatever, but it could be 10 different people come up with the same joke and start circulating it. And then I don't think it's ever just one person. But
on that note, I made a joke today about Corbyn's idea for a state-owned Facebook and said, Gramsci-gram. And someone further up in the same thread had already said Instagram-she, which is much better. I wish I got
annoyed. That's good.
Right, I'm going to sound a total idiot and find quite ignorant, but last week there was a lot of like meme headlines and reports about like Corbyn associating himself with like different cartoon villains.
Mm-hmm.
What was that about?
It's because people say that he's associated with terrorists.
Right again.
It's the special, like the right wing.
Yeah.
Which media keep doing the whole Palestine scene laying a reef at here, there.
Was it from Munich or something?
Yeah. And that means he's a bad guy. I quite enjoyed those memes. They were really quite good last
week. There was me sharing that Dick Dastardly one with you guys thinking, that's very funny, but in the back of my head going, I wish I knew what this was all about. I just thought it was funny and that was it.
Tell you what, I saw someone made a point. It was a philosophy video because I'm a cool dude. I'm a cool dude to the extreme. And someone made the point that, and it's actually quite funny when you think about it, Corbyn in almost every interview breaks the fourth wall. Like he looks directly at the camera. And like gives a knowing sort of look. Like kind of, and it's quite funny when you think it's kind of like, this isn't real. You know, this is just a sham.
Yeah.
You know, apart from maybe he was trying the Stuart Lee approach when he wouldn't answer a question about Brexit the other day like six times. he's going for like the anti-Stuart Lee. Where he just repeats something six times. Just like Ed Miliband.
Yeah. Oh, that Ed Miliband interviews. An absolute classic.
Yeah. It's just repeat like, something until it's funny.
Yeah, it's just like, here's the line. So that's the line you're getting. It's the only line you're getting out of me. It doesn't matter what you say, that's the line you're getting
out
of me.
He looks so much happier now, Ed Miliband. He's got his radio shows on LBC or something.
Podcast as well.
He's got his podcast. Is it Radio 2? No.
I think it is Radio 2.
It is Radio 2.
Yeah,
I think it is. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. But he looks so much happier and healthier. He's not like...
Has he not been doing Twitch streams as well and stuff like that?
Fuck off.
Playing games, doing something else.
Yeah, or somebody else is playing games and he's... I'm pretty sure there was at least one Twitch stream that I saw. Turning up on like panel shows and whatnot, doing sketches and the like.
He did do like a Russell Brand video.
Oh, yeah. That was an interview during the election.
That was during the election, wasn't
it? He just...
Millie fandom never died.
Although, I would love to see him on a Twitch stream, just to see him playing like Fortnite or something, see how he lasts. Taking abuse from like 12-year-olds.
He's probably fucking boss.
He's probably one dishing out that abuse, isn't he?
Oh, speaking of games.
Yeah.
I believe we've been playing things and watching things and...
Doing stuff.
Like everybody else out there.
Like normal people do.
But we've got microphones, so you're going to...
You're going to listen to it and like it, you fuck.
Unlike me, who's just been like reading the JERS report that the government released about the financial position of Scotland. Riveting.
You are one exciting man, James.
I am. I'm a fucking... Yeah. Don't get why I don't have loads of friends.
So riveting. I feel there's like some kind of Iron Brew Girders joke in there, but I can't quite get there. Where's Mark? He's good for a walk.
I mean, I've actually got loads of friends. They're just like, you know, busy doing other stuff. You know? Just because they're not here doesn't mean I don't have friends.
Well, no, I've kind of finally picked up my Switch again just recently. Kind of put it down and hadn't been playing it much. I kind of got to a point in Zelda Breath of the Wild, which... I know this game's now over a year old, but you're going to get my review of it. It was so good that I got to a point where I knew I was very close to finishing and I put it down because I didn't want to finish it. And then I felt guilty about playing anything else because I hadn't finished Zelda, which meant I've just not played my Switch.
Yeah. I do that with series I really like. I'll watch it and then leave like the last four episodes and just not watch it for like 6 months.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want it to end.
That's pretty much been the approach with Zelda. It's one of the best Zelda games I've played. It's definitely one of the best games of last year when I started playing it. I kind of played it up to sort of about, end of January and then just put it down and I didn't want to finish it. But brilliant, brilliant story, fun RPG. It doesn't get too bogged down with what a lot of RPG games do these days where it's the whole collecting and crafting and continually kind of
that's the thing I've got no time
grinding
for.
Yeah. As well. There's a little bit about it. There's some crafting stuff. There's you have to collect and make meals for health and special boosts and things like that. But it doesn't feel arduous.
That's why I quite like the look of No Man's Sky Next.
Mm-hmm.
Because it looks like the game that was promised when it first came out, and they've got they've done more so that you can just chill out if you want, or you could do survival mode. But it looks so much better. It does look visually better, but it looks like interesting.
Yeah. Well, they've now got a fully fleshed RPG element to it, where before it kind of wasn't there, and it was a bit too aimless, where now they've given it
more purpose.
And
but you can't just go and hang out
on a
planet no one's ever been on before.
Do whatever you want. It is a game I'm interested in.
Have you seen
its
Steam scores, how it's risen?
Yeah.
It's mad.
Well, that's it, because it's been fixed, finally.
Yeah. Everybody's like, this is,
It's just taken them, a year to fix it.
Yeah.
Zelda Breath of the Wild, if you've not played it and you don't have a Switch, it is worth buying a Switch for. I would absolutely say it's worth putting the money down. There's some other good games that have come out as well.
And Smash Bros. Come out.
I played Super Mario Odyssey. It's a classic fun Mario game. There was the Mario versus, what are they called? Rabbids. Ubisoft game, which is like a real-time strategy sort of...
It's like XCOM. Turn-based
game. And it was... I didn't expect to like it. Mm. It came with my Switch, and that was actually the first game that I spent hours on. Really good.
And I think you can get the gold edition of that quite cheap now.
Yeah.
I think it's like £30.
It's got King Kong, the...
Donkey Kong
expansion on it as well, yeah.
Have you played much of Sonic Mania since you got it? Because I remember we played a bit of that when you got it.
I think I got about halfway through it. Again, that's something that I've just not gone back to.
It's really good.
It's good. It's fun. It's nice for a wee bit.
We played it. It's like, it's what I thought. It's like it is like a Sonic remix game.
A classic. It is very much so a classic game.
And you can tell it's people that have loved it, who understand what makes Sonic levels good, who've done the level design.
Well, that's it. The start of it, every zone, you've got, I think, the first zone is a classic zone, and then the next zone's a remix. It's just completely, completely different.
Some of them's got new mechanics as well. Which is interesting.
It's really good.
So I'm not fully completed it yet. I've got to the end of the game, but you've got to get all the Chaos Emeralds to complete the game. You get the proper ending.
I saw someone the other day with a Sonic and Knuckles tattoo on the internet. It's the cover.
Yeah, the interconnecting Sonic and Knuckles.
Love that. it's so ridiculous at the same time.
It's like the t-shirt I got a year or two ago. With Sonic and Tails as Batman and Robin.
Didn't you have a Sonic and Knuckles t-shirt?
I've got a Sonic t-shirt.
I thought you had a Sonic and Knuckles.
I've got the classic Sonic in the ring with the stars and everything. The Sonic and Tails is Batman and Robin's. That is just mixing everything I love in the world. But good t-shirt. But the other game I've been playing since I finished Zelda was picked up. It's an indie game from an Australian game company who mainly make mobile games. I think this is available on Steam. It's available on mobiles as well. It's called Death Squared.
Okay.
And it's a puzzle game. It reminds me a lot of, there's purposeful links in it, but it reminds me a lot of Portal.
Okay.
In that you've got to really think about it. The game makers say it's designed for two players.
Mm.
So you've got two robots on a map, and you have to cross the map to a little square of the corresponding color of the robot. But there's things in the way. And there's other activation switches that if your robot goes over like if you're the red robot and you go on a red switch, it activates things which could potentially kill the other one.
Mm.
But the goal isn't to kill the other player.
Mm.
It's to work together to try and avoid all these traps and switches, and there's lasers and all this kind of stuff.
So it's sort of like Portal in a sense.
That's what I'm saying. It's got that sort of same ethic of having to work together, but you're maybe working from two different viewpoints.
Yeah.
Mm. However, it can also be played as a single player, but it takes a lot of concentration because you're literally using like the right stick and the left stick controls each one.
That's weird.
And then you have to, but it makes it really, really quite fun to play. You couldn't play Portal like that.
No.
But this is like a slightly simplified version. But yeah, it's, and there's hundreds of levels, but I heard from it from a podcast that I listen to that play games, and it's been getting, you know, sort of rave reviews. And it turned up, it's usually about £12. It turned up in a sale, and I had some points on the Nintendo store, so I managed to get it for £4.
That's good.
And
that's good.
Thoroughly enjoying it. It's a sort of can't put it down type game. So yeah, I would definitely recommend that. If as I say, I think it's available on pretty much every platform as well. So check it out and play it.
I've been getting back into my Telltale games. This time, the new season of Walking Dead started last week. So I played through the last season, which is the New Frontier, and then started this one, which is the final season. This is the sort of conclusion of the whole Telltale Walking Dead series, which I'm kind of looking forward to, but I'm also a bit like nervous about, just because I've followed that whole story. The good thing about the Walking Dead Telltale games is it's so much better than the TV show, in my opinion. And maybe up there with the comics as well, is there's so much more emotional involvement in a game like that. When you follow the story, you make all the crucial decisions in these different situations, surviving a zombie apocalypse, the people that you're with, the situations that you're faced with, the dangers that you're faced with, the decisions you have to make, you're making them yourself, and they completely affect how the game goes on.
Yeah.
So once you get to this last season, all your decisions have come to shape Clementine, the main character, to who she is, and now she's teaching AJ, who's a kid that she took on when one of her crew died, and it was her baby. And it's, you'd have to, I don't want to spoil it, you'd have to play it all. But I started playing the new one, I started playing the new final season, Walking Dead, and I'm not too sure what to think of it. I thought it was really good. Towards the end, I felt really emotionally invested in it again, but for the first like hour or so, taking away Clementine and AJ, the main two, all the characters that I interacted with for the first hour, I hated. I was like, "You're fucking annoying me already. You're driving me nuts." And then it got it took to get to like the last half hour of the game of that episode to start to like everybody.
Yeah.
But at that time, it's like, "You're a full bastard." The thing for me, it was like, it's a weird dynamic this season. They're at school to start with. It's a sort of Lord of the Flies thing that's going on. So it's a camp that's run by kids. So they're all fending for each other. There's a kid in there who definitely looks like Kiefer Sutherland from The Lost Boys. Not getting around that. He definitely looks like him and almost acts like him. So without giving too much away, the main episode is just introducing yourself to this group, this cast of characters, and getting to know them. Obviously, there's tensions with potential raiders and things like that. You go through traps. You get to know, there's decisions where you got to get to know one set of group of people through fishing, or another group of people by looking at traps, and decisions of who you get to know. The good thing about this episode, this season, is usually what they'll do is at the end of each episode throughout the game so far, is they'll just tell you what the decisions were.
All right, okay.
From everyone, like, they tell you that everyone made what, like 66% of players said to do this and whatnot.
Yeah.
But then this season, what they're doing is actually showing you the state of what the characters are. Like, some might be like what their emotional state is, like what's going on in their head, like what things did you do to make them like this? Like, one's guilty because you told them that you'll do this, but then they feel guilty about something else that's happened.
I mean, I think that's the key thing to pick up on as well, is like, if nobody's ever played a Telltale game, they're more like, less like a classic video game and more like a choose your own adventure.
Yeah, that's the best way to put it.
It is that sort of thing where you have, basically, I think mostly per episode, you're looking at about, what, 3 hours? 2.5 to 3 hours?
2.5 hours, I would say, is a fair time for Telltale games, yeah.
And it's all choice-based. There's sometimes bits where you it kind of gives you the impression you're in control of it, but you're probably not. Also, like what you were saying is like about the choices, it gives you an impression that you're making choices that really change the story. It. I think ultimately there's probably only a handful of outcomes, but
yeah,
the magic behind these games is that it makes you feel like you're yeah. definitely influencing the outcome, you know, the final outcome.
Yeah, like how not to spoil the end of that episode that I've just done, but like I as soon as the end game came up with it, mm-hmm. I was like, what did I do to make this happen, or could I change it?
Yeah,
like that was my first thought. I was like, uh-huh. What could I have done to make it different? So obviously, you have to stand by your decisions with that sort of game because you're going through another four episodes. But at that moment, you're like,
because that's shit. Also how their model works. Is it is episodic?
Yeah.
So like they'll release it. Is it one a month?
One's coming out in September, and then the next one's not due out until late October, November, right. or something like that.
Because usually they try to keep it up like one a month. So you'll purchase it. They're usually about what, 10, 12 quid, something like that.
Yeah. Well, I've got the season pass.
Well, that's it. You can buy the season pass. You can buy them individually. You can wait till the end, and then they usually sell them as a whole.
Yeah. I've done that with the Batman games. I've not played the Batman games yet.
I played the first one.
It's good.
It's good. Yeah, it's fun. Again,
listeners, Kutch is wearing a Batman t-shirt as we speak. He likes Batman.
I like Batman. But yeah, the Batman Telltale's really good. It kind of just follows a classic Batman story. You get to see some of the classic villains. You're Bruce Wayne for a good bit of it. You're Batman for the other bits of it. Again, as I say, there's bits where you're having fights and it kind of gives you the impression that you've got a control over the fight.
Yeah.
You don't really.
You one button press.
That's it. But It's still enough just to bring you in. It does feel like an interactive movie. It is that very fine line between watching a film and being able to then have that sort of extra little bit of interaction.
Yeah. To go on to that point, well, I'll just quickly go back to The Walking Dead for one second just to say this. This season they've also introduced the concept where you can have up to four players have their phones and everyone can like make their own. They can vote on a decision.
All right,
and so everyone can get involved. So it's not just the one you can play.
That is kind of cool because there are games that could very easily be adapted to that sort of idea. Let's everybody make sort of a democratic choice almost.
Hidden Agenda is quite a good one for that as well. Yeah. That's a sort of crime tale that you can sit through, like a story of murder and whatnot. But everyone can make decisions. But there's also parts of the game where someone in the group will have like a secret task they have to do themselves, or like they can't tell anybody, or someone will get told something to sabotage the rest of the group and the rest of the story. I quite like that.
Pretty cool, yeah.
Yeah, so you have different ways to affect the story part in the group dynamic.
It's also that cool way that some developers are thinking about the fact that we all have screens in our hands.
Yeah.
And how to jump onto that. I mean, I know like initially Xbox and PlayStation all came out with apps which were like, yeah, look, we've got a second screen app, but it wasn't.
It's not great.
It just wasn't the best, and some developers tried to use it but didn't quite get it right. But we're coming into that.
Even
sort of
though the Xbox is designed to like listen to a podcast where you play a game, I never use that, and I just stick it on my phone or a laptop that's next to me because that's got all my podcasts and everything there, two clicks away,
rather than having to go through another four.
Yeah,
clicks.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, totally. It's. That's the kind of thing where it's choice based, or that you can all vote on something or something like that. That is kind of cool. Yeah, totally.
Well, so. I've been listening to things. Mm-hmm. There's been a couple of good singles dropped by, I don't know how to pronounce this because I've only ever read it, Saint Seneca, called Beast in the Garden. Beast in the Garden and Frostbiter. Mm-hmm. Double album by Igloo Ghost. Who's mm-hmm. kind of like Aphex Twin for the dubstep generation, is how I'd describe him. He's very good. Very good.
Cool.
Aphex Twin for the dubstep generation.
Yeah.
Where Aphex Twin was the start of the dubstep generation.
Well, it's not dubstep,
well,
is it?
It's not, but it's definitely like what he did.
Yeah. And this is like dubstep coming back around to more glitchy sort of...
Yeah.
And more IDM. It's kind of like a mix between dubstep and IDM. So, cool. And I've lost the other ones because I got that one. One second.
No.
I just need to find them because essentially I can't remember albums unless I've got my device there to look them up. I can just remember the covers. So the new Trevor Powers one was the one I was describing to you earlier. Sounds like halfway between it sounds like Shakespeare's sister mixed with Uncle and Rob Dugan.
Rob Dugan, yeah.
Which is strange.
Although I can totally. I can imagine how that would sound. I'll need to give that a listen. That does sound interesting.
New OC's album's okay. Mm-hmm. It's got a cover like a metal album, and it's more just like rock, but it's quite funny because it's like a big beast on it. It's pretty good. There's an album from Hermit and Recluse, which is like a hip-hop Greek... how do you describe it? Is it called Orpheus or something? It's a hip-hop Greek myth concept album. And it's got like bits from like Jason and the Golden Fleece and all that played in the background.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
That's cool.
And it's surprisingly good. And there was one other one I wanted to share, which was Kusha. Mm-hmm. I'll just find it. Who's sort of like a, I don't know, like an R&B sort of British pop act. She had it, I think she went under a different name a few years ago, but now she's come back.
Mm-hmm.
And this is more like a tight, simple instrumentation sort of R&B pop album. And it's very good at what it does.
Nice.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
I'll have to check that out.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. I'm in a sort of stage of my life where I'm kind of wanting to get to know new music, but I'm not bold enough yet to check out new music because I'm quite set on my ways of like what songs I like.
I'm going to create an album of a year list of everything I've scored a 4 or higher at 5 this year, and I'll put it on the 5 Club page.
And I think near we'll Christmas. Dedicate an episode to it.
No, not an episode.
Yeah, we'll do a full award ceremony. We'll invite people in.
We could do a Christmas special.
Yeah.
Where we have like an end of year list of our favourite things. Totally.
Yeah, we could do like a 5 Club awards and all different things that we've met. Like,
because so many people will be happy to get that.
Yeah. we can do a listener of the year. Listen to that, Dylan Doogie.
Yeah.
Get your game going.
Fight.
Battle.
But on the note of music, I actually went back and found a classic album, classic soundtrack that I haven't listened to in a long time. And it was actually talking to Kirsty about vinyl. We've got a record player. We're trying to buy up lots of vinyl at the moment. We're hip, cool, like all the cats. But yeah, we were watching 10 Things I Hate About You, and that's got a classic soundtrack.
It does,
it's a very of its time, absolutely of its time. And she went on looking to see if she could find if there was a vinyl copy of it, if it had ever been done in vinyl. It looks like it hasn't been, and there's not been any kind of reissue or anything like that. But there was a forum which was talking all about it that she found, and somebody mentioned, and she was just she kind of mentioned it in passing. She was like, somebody's just mentioned that there's another classic album sort of around that time, that soundtrack album that's never been on.
American Pie?
No. Batman Forever.
Oh!
The Batman Forever soundtrack is
Kiss from a Rose on it.
It's banging. So, it's got U2, when they were alright with Hold Me, Kiss Me, Thrill Me, Kill Me.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that album was weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, sort of the transition.
It's got PJ Harvey, Eddie Reader, Massive Attack, and Tracy Thorn from Everything But the Girl. Seal. Who else is on it?
I knew that Eddie Reader had a
song. Yeah, Eddie Reader's on it.
That's left field. That's pretty cool.
The Smashing Pumpkins. The Offspring. They're on it. Method Man. Is it Devlins? Michael Hutchence.
Of course, the Devlins. That's a song with Nygma.
And the Flaming Lips.
It's Flaming Lips.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't go very far.
Yeah.
Bitty dreams you can drive. Perfect car.
Yeah.
Live on Mars and have it your way.
You hate your boss at your job.
Yeah.
But in your dreams you can blow his head off. Yeah. Just on that mention, I was just like, that is absolutely right. It is a fucking one of my favorite albums, growing up.
Right. I loved that film as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I saw it not long ago.
It's
the second worst Batman film, next to the one that doesn't exist.
Which one?
I don't know.
But on that note, that film that doesn't exist also has a banging soundtrack as well.
Does it though?
Yeah. Smashing Pumpkins. Okay. Jewel. Who else is on that? Christ, Bone Thugs and Harmony.
Fuck me.
Yeah. I'm trying to think who else is on
we
that.
We are thinking the same
Shane,
film,
what's his name from Smash? What's his name? Billy Corgan.
Billy Corgan, yeah.
Yeah, but he's a total conspiracy theorist now.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah, he's lost it.
But yeah, like.
Just... Like Alex Jones level bullshit. He's sort of between Alex Jones and Eddie Bravo. Which is not a good place to be.
No, that is. That's mental.
Even thinking in the middle of the next track, Remember Tower 7. Oh, no. He's found his way.
That's my favorite meme online, which is like when Eddie Bravo's cornering in UFC. Yeah. Remember Tower 7, Tony? Remember Tower 7? It's so funny. I think it just came from one comment on Reddit, but it keeps getting... Oh, so
it just
good.
Keeps getting repeated, yeah.
Yeah. So there's the thing. See, like, you're now at the age of vinyl. Is, you know how we did mixtapes?
Yeah.
And you could, like, record songs on a tape?
Mm-hmm.
Can you do that with a vinyl?
Well, no, but then that
manufacturer might, like, if you sent a playlist to, like,
yeah, there are
some manufacturers that
can there are absolutely companies that are doing that now. That you could get that done. But
let's do it in your shed and start a dub plate service.
Yeah,
fucking white label. Yeah, son.
Is that it? Doesn't I think you can buy the machines that do it, and it's not as costly as you might think it is.
No, but what can be? Cause so the thing with dub plates is that you used to get dub plates, which were like. I had a couple, and the thing is that they only work for, like, so many plays.
Because they're so soft.
Yeah. Because it's easier to do on softer stuff, so... There's like a guy, Kid Koala, goes to, like... He has, like, a specialist guy who he goes to who makes all these specialist vinyl that he needs. And he sends him, like, in MP3 form or whatever. Well, it's probably FLAC or something, actually.
Yeah.
And then he makes it for him. But he does it... there's a cool article or video with him talking about he does these certain gauge grooves in a certain way which work much better and much higher fidelity and all that.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, just checking that, the film that doesn't exist, the Batman film that doesn't exist, that
the film
never
that shall not be named.
That never had, I mean, people keep telling me that at some point in time George Clooney was cast as Batman. I mean, they're mental. They're just mental.
Silly. Just nonsense, isn't it?
I hate it when people talk in the movies.
Ice to see you. But yeah, so as I said, you've got Bone Thugs and Harmony, Smashing Pumpkins, REM, Jewel, Goo Goo Dolls, Soul Coffin, Moloko, Underworld.
Whoa,
it's just
that's
like,
pretty good,
yeah.
Actually.
What but they are they are classic soundtracks of the time, like just filled with.
What did Moloko do for
Fun for Me? From their first album, I think it is. Yeah, Moloko's. There's a fucking great group as well. Their album,
Sing It Back,
can do.
Yeah, sing It Back on my morning playlist, and Give Up Yourself into the Moment. It's on my evening playlist. The time is now. I've just called the time is now.
Yeah. Yep. It's
freshly Rick Rich Moment. Last. She sings like Ronan Keating through a jaw.
What
and
was
the
her
guy
name
from Creed, Russian something. She had a show on Six Music. No.
She did.
She?
Yeah, she totally did.
Yeah.
Fucking
rude. Her solo stuff was all right, actually.
Yeah, it was cracking.
She was just sound as fuck. But yeah, anyway. this got very club singery.
Yeah. she's got a bit of a club singer about her.
That's true. Very true. Very true. Well, we're actually kind of creeping up on the hour.
Are we?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
We're having a good week.
We've had patter this week.
Have we, James?
Well,
have we had live at the Apollo version level patter or pub level patter or even worse, Big Bang Theory patter?
Well, it was funny you mentioned Big Bang Theory because we were also talking about another comedy show that's a tenuous fucking link, by the way. Another comedy show that's turned up on Netflix by Matt Groen.
Oh, yeah. I forgot it. We're going to talk about that.
Disenchanted.
Yeah, so I knew this was coming, but I thought it was... I only just saw an advert for it, like, online.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, oh, it'll be, like, 2 weeks away.
Mm-hmm.
No, it was, like, it was...
Yeah, that was it.
And I came around here, and you and the silent producer said that it was good, and it was on.
Yeah.
Like, and I thought, oh, shit, so...
I think at that point, we'd watched, like, the first three episodes, and...
Yeah, I think that's where I am. Yeah.
And thoroughly enjoyed it. Had a good chortle. Like, what... we said to you was that instantly you noticed the freedom that group, that writing group, the producer, you know, like Matt Groen, David X. Cohen, and all the folk, because it's all the folk that are involved with The Simpsons and who've been involved with Futurama. You noticed that they had a bit more freedom with it being off network and that it was definitely more adult.
Yeah. So you guys said to me that it was more adult, and I was like, yeah, it'll be adult in the way the Powerpuff Girls is adult, in the way that can sort of go over kids' heads and it's all right, and a lot of things adult. No, it's fucking adult.
I would say it's not for kids.
No,
at all. It's really quite dark as well at times.
I think kids could watch it and it'd still go over their heads
potentially. I think some of the themes are just maybe a bit too dark in it as but yeah, like it is good. It's really funny. There was that sort of like anticipation of, is it just going to be it's not that The Simpsons is bad. It's just that it feels like...
See, that's what I was going to say about this, was that it feels like a Matt Groening thing. Mm-hmm. Groening. It feels like a Matt Groening thing.
Or Groening.
Yeah. But it doesn't... So it'll obviously have a big writer's room, right? Mm-hmm. But it doesn't feel like it has the ridiculous writer's room that Simpsons has.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like, oh, we need to make you laugh every single second. It's like, we'll have a laugh every, you know...
Yeah.
But it doesn't feel like that, because The Simpsons ran out of things to say, so they had to resort to that.
Whereas this
feels more like early Simpsons, where it was like...
Yeah, it's got some...
And the budget, you can see it in the animation as well. Like, the animation's not bad, but there's not as much going on in the animation anywhere near as for our in modern Simpsons, which is good because it works.
Again, with it being Netflix as well, being on this streaming subscription model, it's 10 episodes.
Yeah.
And I think that makes it really quite neat. It also allows them, because it's the 10 episodes and it's all released back to back, like a lot of these things, it gives them the freedom to kind of chain the story together a bit more. Where on a weekly
show... I know it's called Part 1. Yeah. Not Season 1 or Series 1, Part 1.
I was wondering if they'd maybe made like 20 episodes. And
release.
But apparently not. They have only just done the 10 episodes. Because quite often, like, I think they did that with... possibly Castlevania, the animated series, and
that can't be far away now either. Castlevania,
the robots, lions, robots, Voltron.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, because the Voltron animated series on Netflix has been really good. I don't know if you've watched it, but I've thoroughly enjoyed that. But what they did was I think they commissioned it for like 30 episodes, and then they released the first 10, and then like a year later they released the next 10, and so it's like they made them all back to back.
Just came to mind, I don't know how relevant this will be for you guys, but they're bringing back Hey Arnold.
Are they?
Oh, really?
They're back for another season, yeah.
Oh wow, that actually might be good.
So Hey Arnold was excellent. Really good.
Move it, football head. So they're probably bringing on the next season on Netflix, and they're going to bring it back.
Ah, nice.
Yeah, fucking nice.
That is pretty cool.
Looking forward to that.
Really good writing.
If you can bring back Dexter's Lab and do stuff like that on Netflix.
Don't tempt me, that'd be...
Or a...
I would bring back the Beaks and Hey Doug. Fucking shit if that happens, I tell you.
Well, see... I forgot completely what I was going to say.
Well, see.
Great banner. Great content. Still better than some of those jokes at the Fringe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Disenchantment?
Yeah. They haven't advertised it nearly enough. I knew it was coming because I read comedy websites and I read like geek websites.
Mm-hmm.
But I saw I've seen
a fair few adverts on TV and Sky and stuff for it. And
I saw one on TV and I should have been getting on YouTube. I watch a lot of YouTube. I should have been getting bombarded with adverts. That, fucking bombarded with adverts. My age.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be like, you're perfect for it.
Yeah, I'm almost getting towards being over that age.
Oh, yeah. Outside the key demographic.
I've got just over a year left.
No more key demographic for you, son.
Yeah.
Advertisers don't care about your...
Yeah, I know, that's it.
Although, it doesn't matter anyway, because, like kids watch YouTube these days, not TV, so it doesn't fucking matter. Yeah.
The thing that I was going to say to you earlier on about Disenchanted as well is that apparently the first couple of episodes, a lot of people have kind of given it a bashing. And sort of
really?
It's not that great. And that it's, that
fuck
it
them.
Contrived. And I actually don't get that because I think those three episodes. Yeah. And like, again, what I've read is others have said the first couple of episodes aren't that great, but then it gets into it. I'm at this point where I'd say the reverse. First three episodes are what got me into it.
Yeah.
And the rest have been good, but I'd say that the first three were the ones that are the standout because they've set the tone. They've made me laugh enough to, to go, okay, I like the humour, and also to care about the characters.
Yeah. I just... Sorry, James. I was going to say,
is it the way it's laid out, is it a narrative across all the episodes rather than just...
It kind of is. Yeah, there's a...
Which is why it feels different. It feels different from Futurama and Simpsons as well. It's not it is separate. Every episode has a beginning, middle, and end. Although the first two are more like a two-parter. But it's got an arc.
Overall arc.
But not just an arc. It's like it's not an arc like Doctor Who where at the end of episode we'll go, ooh, that links into this somehow. An arc is in you're seeing three characters going through stuff on a journey, mm-hmm. and each episode links on to the last one.
Yeah,
that's so far anyway.
It. It's
It's not like a BoJack then, where like all this stuff will happen, but it actually has like a BoJack, tissue between it.
BoJack is very much like classic Netflix, where it's like almost a whole film.
Yeah,
like you watch it start to finish, the 10, 12 episodes, and it's like
got a spine.
Yeah,
the whole
it's
thing.
Like a what 8 hour.
Yeah,
film or something like that.
Yeah. That's going back
soon. It's not. It's not quite like that. As I say, there is a. It's like a weekly, more like a classic sci-fi series, really, in like Stargate, something like that, where there's an overarching story across all. Yeah. Each week is a separate adventure.
Kind of, but do you know what I've been finding myself doing is not usually if something's on Netflix, I will destroy it.
Yeah,
but with this, I've been watching like
just a few,
just like. I watch two episodes one night and then one episode the other night, and I prefer to do it like that with this. I don't know why.
Do you know, it's funny, a lot of people complained about like the Marvel Netflix series like being a bit kind of waning in the middle and you know that sort of thing, but it's part of that is because a lot of people do watch it in one go.
Yeah, and it can get a bit much.
Yeah, whereas
The first season of Luke Cage, I stopped myself from watching it because I was watching so many in a row.
Yeah.
I was just getting bored. But I'm like, oh, actually, I've been watching this for like 6 hours.
Yeah,
so
that's it. Whereas if you watch like two episodes a night, something like that, it actually doesn't feel as onerous.
But then again, that's how Netflix is consumed. Yeah. So it's like I think we said this podcast before, cut it down to like
10 episodes.
10? 8 to 10?
10, rather than 13,
Rather than pad it out over two.
It's crazy.
On such matters of commissioning and stuff, I'd just like to say that it's bullshit that the Sci-Fi Channel, they re-aired Killjoys, which I enjoyed, but they got rid of Dark Matter, which is by Joseph Losey, who was the Atlantis and SG-1 producer.
Yeah.
And that was good. That was better. And they got rid of that and kept Killjoys and then commissioned other shit, like, I think it's called The Outpost, which is just awful. I couldn't believe how bad it was. It's proper terrible.
Sci-Fi just, I think, lost their edge.
They just go up and down. They've got a new series called Reverie as well,
which
is like a woman going into people who are like, it's kind of like Inception, that people are paying to like imagine things. She goes and tried to get them out because they've been in too long. But then they've got another series coming on, I can't remember his name, where it's a woman who's a psychologist as well, like going into people's brains, who have been murdered or something. It's like, you've got two shows that are essentially the same.
Exactly the same.
Airing on the same network.
Yeah, that's weird.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Well, that one doesn't look like a sci-fi produced show. But then why would you buy it if you've got your own one? It's almost, it's fucking weird. But then they get rid of things like, Dark Matter,
which had problems,
but it was overall well done.
I think one of the
things
with sci-fi in the UK is a big problem with it is that it's reliant on its content from the States.
And they sell off a lot of their best.
And so, like, there's stuff that does better here than it does in the States, but because we don't count towards their viewing figures,
and like
it's just gone.
And like Stargate, a lot of their best shows, their real hit shows, like Stargate, Battlestar, don't get shown on the Sci-Fi Channel over here.
That's it,
because they're too big. Yep. So
they go to like your Skies and all that. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Well. Oh, aye, and bring back Blood Drive, you cunts. It's amazing.
Was that like really cheesy, cheap one that you talked about?
Good.
It was like so bad, it's good.
It's a love letter to B-movies and like Grindhouse.
Mm-hmm.
It's so... There's only one bad episode in it, and the rest of it is so ridiculously over the top. It's amazing. It's absolutely incredible. I love it.
I do keep meaning to catch it.
Preacher continues to be great.
Yeah. I think I'm going to start watching that.
Yeah, so good.
Yeah, it looks really
good. It gets better after the first series as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because it's like series 3 now it's on or something.
Yeah.
I think that's probably one that's going to get chewed very soon.
Yeah. I might start watching Gotham as well. Like
Gotham is fucking great.
I watched the first few episodes of the first season of Gotham and I was out quickly. So, but like, Penman has been mentioning us on the daily about Gotham now. So I'm like,
maybe Penman both. It is the best DC show by a mile, in my opinion.
We watched the first season just after it finished showing and thoroughly enjoyed it. And just haven't, not for not wanting to, just haven't managed to pick it up since. But I think it's something that we do want to
all the best
to.
Things about the first season, they make better.
Yeah.
They understand what it is. Just like Blood Drive, they understand what it is and do it well. And that's it.
Just do it really well. Cool. Yeah. Cool. Well, I think we've bantered enough tonight and bored the tits off of folk.
Yeah.
So, yeah, absolutely. We're not doing Desert Island Dicks this week. We'll do it next week.
Bugger that.
We just...
basically. We'll send all those comedians to the desert island.
Yeah. Alone.
That's it. Congratulations.
And the honey badger.
Yeah. Congratulations to the top 10. You have finally made your way into the honey badger Pamplona.
Yeah, like I say, good luck to you. But yeah, we'll be back with that. We just were absolutely unprepared this week, so yep. Fuck it.
For unprepared, we have done fucking well.
And I'll maybe promote this one. You know, I'll maybe make a go of it.
Maybe I should have a picture up of this one.
Get it on the website, and maybe more than our dedicated fans will listen to it.
Yeah, this is one for the general public, not just you fans.
Never mind. So, I suppose that really brings me to that time of the evening where I have to ask, James, what's the motto?
You're going to go see a comedy show at the Fringe between now and the end of the Fringe?
Don't!
Because we've showed you all the shite jokes you need.
Also, by the time this comes out, the Fringe is
over anyway.
So, yeah, fair enough. Good night.
Good night.